Hey guys, and welcome to the Raw Dosage Podcast. I'm your host, Dulce Thompson, author, blogger, creator. Here we talk raw, uncensored, real-life topics for the everyday millennial and join entertaining or inspiring conversation with me and my special guest. I promise you won't hear this anywhere else. Enjoy the show. Hey guys, and thanks for listening to another episode. So glad to have you guys here in this crazy, crazy time. I hope you guys are all doing well. Today we have a special episode and a special guest, so I'm going to allow her to introduce herself.
Hello, my name is Felicia Carter Stokes, and I am the founder and editor-in-chief of The Melanin Voyage. I am based out of Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes, so happy to have you here, Pri. Really appreciate you hopping on to talk about this topic. So guys, we are going to talk about stocks, buying, selling, trading, all that good stuff, because I hear a lot of conversation about it being a good time to invest. And then I hear conversations about it being a bad time to invest. And that's like what, you know, this particular topic, stocks in general. And then it's also about like business moves, business ventures, and what people do with a stimulus check. All right, because we got a lot of conversation about that on Twitter. I'm a Twitter head, and I be scrolling, and I be seeing all the crazy conversations people be having. Yeah, I see them, and most times I don't say nothing because I just don't want to get into that mix, but I just think it's funny how, like, people are judging other people based off what they're going to do technically with their money, because that's your money at the end of the day, right? It's given to you, but it's still technically yours. And regardless of who gave it to you, how you got it, I personally think that if people want to take their $1,200 and invest it into a business or put it towards their existing business or put it into some stocks, why not? We don't know where things are headed right now. Like, it's obviously not going good. And it seems to be getting worse day by day, yes, but we still don't know the outcome within this time, within the next 6 months, right? So I'm all for people taking that leap of faith, because what happens in 6 months when the economy is back up or doing even better than what it is right now, you know? So you invested and now you're seeing profit, and you probably wished you would have been so-and-so that was tweeting, oh, I invested $500 in Coca-Cola and now they up, you know, 6 months from now, or they put that $1,200 into a business and now sales is booming. So what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so right now, as you guys know, the stock market is super, super wild. And I say this in a sense of people are scared. They are scared. We are uncertain about these times. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if maybe 3 months from now we could still be quarantined. We don't know any of that. So with that being said, the stock market is up and down every day. You know, some days the world shows optimism. Some days the world shows that, you know, we're still down and we don't know and we're fearful. So that's the reason why the stock market is the way that it is right now. Now, how I feel about the situation is, you know, I've been trading since I was about 19 years old. I learned it from my grandfather. That's one thing that he did teach me. So the thing is that people say that it's not a wise idea to invest right now, but I think it's the opposite. Right now, we have blue chip stocks, which blue chip stocks are stocks that, you know, they're typically in the billions. Their revenue is always in the billions. And they're always a stock that is going to remain, you know, high. It's something that you can invest in and you know you're going to get your money back regardless of what's going on in the world. So right now, those blue chip stocks are actually down. They are down, and I feel like people aren't taking advantage of what they could be taking advantage of now. They are pretty much very affordable to the point that you could invest money into it, and then once the stock market rebounds, you will be able to make a generous profit off of those. So I'm trying to encourage people to go ahead and invest while they can, especially when it's affordable now. There will come a time where you won't be able to buy a stock because, you know, some, let's be real, some people don't have, you know, $300, $400, $500. I mean, hell, Amazon stock is in, what, $1,900 right now? People don't have that type of money to invest. So I'm just encouraging people to invest right now while the stocks are low. And if you invest right now, I don't want to make any guarantees, but if you invest in a blue chip stock, you're going to gain some profit back once the stock market rebounds.
Mm-hmm. What's your, like, maybe expectation? You said generous profit, right? For people that are listening and that are really interested in, you know, coming back strong financially, which a lot of us are, you know, trying to make a, trying to turn something into nothing, you know, trying to make it. What can we expect, like, financially from investing in blue chip, being that it is down, but it obviously can go up in the future?
Right. So right now, this is what got us here. You know, the, of course, the post that I made about travel stocks you should invest in while during stock market lows.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, right now, the travel industry, it's looking pretty bleak right now.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, travel has to rebound. I mean, that is something that's essential. Business, to me, business equals travel. Like, we do so many international business transactions, and people travel for leisure, for business. It's all, people are always traveling for some reason. So that type of stock is always going to rebound. So when it comes to, when I'm saying profit, when you look at different stocks, like you have, of course, your Amazon is always going to be high. You have all the travel stocks. Like lately, I just invested in Carnival right now, they're down. But the thing is that, like I said, the travel industry is going to rebound. People are going to start cruising again. People are going to start taking flights again. I invested in Delta. I invested in American Airlines. And those are really, really cheap right now. I think I bought like some Delta stocks the other day for $10, and it's usually in the 20-30 area for a piece of stock. But that's going to go back up after, you know, the whole COVID situation passes over. So when I say profit, I'm typically talking about the fact that you can literally buy these stocks for, you know, a meal out. You know, some people spend $10, $15 on a meal, and you could literally take that $10 or $15 and purchase a stock right now that would probably double in value probably about 6 to 7 months from now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really good to know for a lot of people, because a lot of us spend our money foolishly. That's just the reality of it. You know, like you said, $10, $15, like that's, when I used to work in a city, that was lunch every day. You know, so if I'm spending that on a weekly basis, comes out to be a lot.
It does indeed. And my rule of thumb is, and this is, some people may find this silly, but, you know, I'm trying to, and we're millennials, like, you know, it's so easy for us to just get up and order food and, you know, spend that $10 to $15, but we're not realizing how we can actually capitalize on that $10 to $15 every single day. So I tell myself, I'm like, okay, if you have enough money to eat out, then you have enough money to put this money into the stock market. So literally, to force myself to stop eating out so much, what I would do is, if I said, hey, okay, I'm going to buy lunch today, $10, $15, I have to spend another $10 to $15 and purchase a stock.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I push myself to keep investing, because if I don't, I feel like if I have the money to eat out, then I should have the money to be able to purchase a piece of stock. So that's how I kind of reinforce my punishment for myself. It's like, okay, so if you're going to spend $15 a day, you're actually going to spend $30 because you're going to put $15 into the stock market. That's just how I am with myself. And it may not work for everybody, but that's how I kind of keep myself investing into myself, because eating out is not essential for real. But sometimes we just have to do it. So it may not be affordable for everyone. So that's why I'm pushing people to invest as much as they can right now. Right now we have stocks that are not usually affordable, that are pretty affordable right now. So I'm just really pushing people to invest while they can, while the stocks are low, so that once the market rebounds, they will be able to make a profit. And, you know, there is so much money to be made in the stock market. truth be told, and I know it's the powers that be, you know, especially with us being African Americans, minorities, they don't want us to participate in the stock market. Not for real. It's not something that's encouraged. Growing up where I grew up, Birmingham, Alabama, that's not something that was talked about. People don't talk about stocks down here. And I had to learn this information from my grandfather. He's the one that I learned it from. So I'm basically just trying to make sure that I inform people as much as possible, because that's the reason why I started the Melanin Voyage in the beginning. Anyway, it's because people ask me so much about so many things, and it was mostly travel related. But, you know, of course, with the whole blog post about, you know, the travel stocks, that's how we made it here. But yeah, that's, I'm just really just trying to push people to invest while they can.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's great, you know, just to have that mindset and then also not kind of like keep all the information for yourself, right? And spread the wealth, spread the knowledge, because I think, like you said, we're not taught that. We didn't grow up like that. Mm-hmm. Most of us didn't. Most of us did not grow up knowing stocks, learning financial literacy, education. Mm-hmm. We just didn't. We struggled with that ourselves. So I know for me, like growing up, like it was more or less just how to survive and get through the week. Do we have enough eggs? Do we got enough bacon? Do we got enough bread? You know, not really taking that and trying to advance because you're so focused on just surviving at that moment. So to grow up, you know, be a millennial and teach yourself these things is so powerful because we didn't have access to that. We didn't get taught that in school for sure. So at this point, I think it's really essentially us making that conscious decision to open a book, YouTube. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that, you know, like going on YouTube and learning a new skill, learning. I feel like there's anything you want to access is right there for you
it
to
really
do so.
Is.
Like Google, so YouTube, like, are you kidding me? Like you could probably Google how to build a house and learn how to build.
they actually have tutorials on YouTube about that though. And that's what's so wild. Like anything, and you would think like, sometimes I'll be thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, I wonder how you do this. And that's really, you know, it's so crazy how much of a resource that YouTube truly is. People don't understand. Like that is, YouTube is the biggest library of how to. I just can't even explain to you.
And then you get the visuals. Like you can't beat that. At least like, obviously we have Google, of course. You could type anything and read something, but to see it, like I feel like a lot of us are visual learners just from the age range and decade we were born in. We're like visual. We like to see things and we like to touch it and everything like that. We're readers, but I feel like a lot of us are falling off of that. Like I know for me, like I read stuff, but there's a lot of things I skim through too. And I've seen people like skim through stuff too. Like I'll show them an article or a blog post I did and I'll see them like skim and I'm like, you didn't even read it. You know, so I think YouTube is huge for our generation. You get the best of both worlds. And I'm really for real. Like the other day, maybe like last week actually, I'm actually in a group that's like, it's called Life of Abundance, and we're doing like different challenges and tasks spiritually to connect, to manifest in this unique time. So I said that to say that being in that group is just teaching me that I need to learn more, open up my mind more. And it's setting a certain structure in my life. So I'm thinking, okay, with me setting these intentions, with me learning these different things and structuring my day, because it's everything in there is given on a day by day basis. We're going to do this. We're going to learn that. And I'm trying to take that same like foundation and apply it to other things, things I want to learn spiritually as well. Things I want to know in the business aspect financially. And what I'm going to do is start a YouTube university for myself. Like I already have certain things that I've took interest in that have taught me something that I've learned from, and I've saved it into categories. So I have finance, I have stocks, you know, each, I save the videos into a playlist. So that's my university. And I just think it's dope that we, again, we have that resource. So I highly encourage people to, you know, just examine their situation. If you have the means to do it, if you have, you know, that motivation and that drive to take a chance, because at this point we don't know what's going to happen again with this right. whole COVID thing. So you can mm-hmm. say, oh, I'm going to come out swinging, or I'm just going to chill in this moment and relax, sleep, rest, whatever. I mean, right. whatever you choose to do is okay. But think about it in this aspect. It's a 50-50 chance mm-hmm. because you don't know, we don't know, they don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, it could go this way or it could go that way. Now, what if it goes the good way? And yeah. we come up, we eat, you know, we invest, we see, mm-hmm. we see the profit. What happens then? So, yeah. I mean, it's you could play on your downfall, or you could play on it coming up. And mm-hmm. I think for me, I want to stay as positive as I can be. And it's hard to wake up every day and absolutely be motivated, be driven. Like before this COVID, I'm pretty sure most of us were doing a damn thing.
Yeah.
we were killing it. We was killing it. And I think yes. we're still trying to like keep that up, but it's hard at the end of the day. And I'm not expecting me or you or any other creative to just act like nothing's happening. Because we all know we're going through it. So
we know. And yeah, I'm seeing a significant decline, like especially like with the content that I create, because nobody's traveling right now. So it's like I have to create content that's centered around, you know, something that is useful right now. Because if it's not useful right now, then you know that the viewership that I'm having right now is not gonna push to my blog. It's gonna just, you know, so it's a really hard time right now, especially when my blog is centered around travel related content. So I'm having to make sure that I'm putting out content that's beneficial for my readers right now.
Right. So like you had the blog post. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You put the blog post in Black Bloggers Community. And guys, mm-hmm. That's the Facebook group that I created. We have over 400 members in there. It's a good place to share your content, to get other resources, and just to network and connect with people, Black bloggers that do what you do. So mm-hmm. she shared one of her blog posts there, which was, now's the perfect time to get your travel fund in order. So you being mm-hmm. a travel blogger, and if other travel bloggers are listening, mm-hmm. that's a good way to take traveling and turn into something that could be useful during mm-hmm. this unique time, you know? Yep. So definitely commend you for being creative with that one.
Yeah, I try to stay creative because, you know, mm-hmm. right now I know times are uncertain, but I just want people to be prepared after the mm-hmm. COVID has subsided. You know, I want people to be able to continue to flourish like they were before COVID happened. I don't want it to kind of be a hindrance, even though right now it seems like the economy is about to just collapse. We're just right. trying to hold on. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just really trying to give my readers options and give them, you know, thoughtful insight about things that I'm thinking about right now, that they should be thinking about right now. So this is why, you know, I'm really catering my content to basically centering what's going on right now for them. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for a lot of creators, while we're on the blogging topic, for a lot mm-hmm. of creators, like being in a unique niche, like travel, and then no one traveling right now, mm-hmm. and seeing a decline in readers is an indication that okay, no one's reading my blog. I'm just going to put mm-hmm. this aside for now, focus on a different venture. People look at it that way. Or mm-hmm. you can say like you, like, nah, I'm going to keep blogging and I'm just going to try to wrap this travel or this particular mm-hmm. niche around what's mm-hmm. going on. And maybe it could be useful to people. So mm-hmm. I think for people that are struggling, like whatever particular niche you do, and you feel like, oh, there's not a market for that, I'm pretty sure there's a market for it, just in a mm-hmm. different way that you're used to. So, mm-hmm. You know, just encourage people to just maybe take a deeper look at, you know, what they create and maybe find something resourceful. Let me touch on SEO real quick. SEO is mm-hmm. a really good way to find out different keywords and different sources of content that people are looking right. for. So mm-hmm. if you use help me out, what's one of those resources that people can find the keywords? I have it saved.
If you're using WordPress, you can use Yoast SEO. You can use SiteRank as well. Yoast will tell you, as well as Google AdSense. So if you're running Google Ads on your website, Google SiteKit does tell you what keywords people are looking for. So if you have Google AdWords running on your site for basically ads, there is an area in WordPress. And if you go to that area, it's like Google SiteKit or something like that. You go into there and it'll tell you the keywords that people are searching. And that mm-hmm. led them to your website. So mm-hmm. there are a bunch of resources out there that'll tell you. And also, this is, you know, based on SEO as well, but
on the other side of marketing, Pinterest. If you go on Pinterest and you look for your, you know, related niche, you can actually, if you were to type in the words, you can see what people are searching right there. So mm-hmm. that can give you kind of an insight of what people are looking for as far as content. So yeah, you can use Pinterest as well. You have Google Site Kit, you have Yoast SEO, SiteRank. It's a lot of them.
Yeah, I think that's really useful right now to use for bloggers that are have a specific niche that's not really booming right now because of COVID. Definitely take a look at those resources, Pinterest, dig into SEO a bit, and hopefully you can come back, you know, get your viewers up and things like that. But just to go back into stocks, so guys, right? I'm an investor. I invested into Coca-Cola. The
oh,
other day.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So it's safe to say I don't really know what I'm doing, but I took a leap of faith.
It's okay. And we're gonna figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna figure it out. Cause I'm like, you know what? It was pressing on my mind. And I'm like, yo, I just gotta do this. I just gotta do it. Mm-hmm. And even though, like I said, I've been, you know, reading, watching videos on YouTube, and I was reading a few articles, and then I read your blog, and you know, I had mm-hmm. so I definitely got some insight, you know, some information on what dividends is, you know, just, you know, a little words, a little lingo. And I'm like, okay, you know, I know a little something. I think it's a very basic idea what a stock is, right? Mm-hmm. Stock is buying a portion of a company. It's called a share, right? So I have this company and I build computers. Mm-hmm. I build computers, Dolce
Technologies.
Technology, thank you. Dolce Technologies. And you know, it starts off great and I'm booming in sales. And you say, oh, she's an upcoming business. This is a perfect time to get a portion of that. And then I know that she's gonna do well in this business mm-hmm. because her sales are increasing. I'm mm-hmm. seeing her on commercials now. Oh, let me get a piece of that. And you invest you know, $100 worth of shares of my company. And then let's say 6 months to a year from now, I doubled my annual revenue. And now mm-hmm. what happened to you, right? What happened to that share you bought? It doubled as well. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially what a stock is. I mean, I kind of knew that, but taking it and just putting it into a simpler form in my head just mm-hmm. really helped me to understand, okay, it's not as hard as it sounds. It's just knowing when to pull out, what to put my money into, and just being smart about it. So because I don't want to confuse my own self. Right. I know that it's obviously more to it, but at mm-hmm. the same time, I think for a lot of people, stocks is scary, and it is because it's a lot going on, especially when you look at the stock report. Like, I had downloaded Yahoo Finance, and it was a lot simpler than the stock on my iPhone. I don't know if you have an iPhone, but they have like stock there, and that thing is confusing as hell.
it can get kind of confusing. And that's definitely so. What I want to say is that there are, when it comes to things that's confusing like that, there are other apps and everything that you can look into and it would explain it and it would be easy to understand. I'm not sure if you use Cash App or not, but Cash App recently got into letting people buy and trade stocks and sell stocks on their platform. So
yeah, that's why I actually purchased Coca-Cola from.
Yeah. So on their app, they have like, I don't even know what to call that little section. It's like a little squiggly line at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And that's for stocks. And if you go into there, it'll tell you, you know, your investments, how much you've invested, your portfolio, what's in your portfolio currently, how much you've gained or lost since you've made your investments into the stocks, into the stock market, everything else like that. So if you were to click on them, any stock that you purchase, it'll give you, you know, how much you've invested, the details, you know, how many shares, what's the share price and everything else like that. And then it'll give you like a brief synopsis of, you know, what the company is about and what their main, you know, how they make their profits practically. And it'll tell you the CEO and the industry, how many employees they have and where they're headquartered, everything else like that. So I find that Cash App is the easiest to read when it comes to something like that. So I just really, honestly, I just read Cash App every single day because it's the easiest for me to read. I can literally log in you know, I'm doing so much during the day, I can literally log in, click on whichever stock that I'm trying to check on, and it'll tell me exactly what I need to know right then. I feel like Apple, they should go ahead and kind of make the user interface a little bit easier to understand, especially if they want to have some user engagement with that stock app particularly, because I don't use it, because mm-hmm. it's confusing for me as well, so...
Gotcha. So mm-hmm. let's just talk real quick about must-have apps for either like okay. beginners or okay. maybe for people that want to, okay, I'm ready to look into this. I maybe did some research. What app should I download? We mm-hmm. talked about Cash App being one. Mm-hmm. I saw also, I came across Stash. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have heard of Stash. Yeah. Stash is not particularly my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
It's a lot of time that I mean, maybe it's just my financial institution, but they take a lot of, like, it takes a long time for them to actually withdraw funds from my account. Mm-hmm. When I'm trading, it's very essential for me to, you know exactly where my money is going. I don't need it to be waiting for, like, 2 or 3 days to withdraw from my account. I just need it to go and it be gone, and I know where my money is working and where it's not. So Stash takes a little bit of time for, you know, the funds to withdraw from my account.
Outside of that, would you say it's a good app?
Yeah, it's a great app. Mm-hmm. It's just the time frame with being withdrawn from the account is kind of for me. But if you right. have patience, you know, that's perfectly fine. Stash is a really great app.
Mm-hmm. What about E-Trade?
E-Trade, that I feel like if you're more of a intermediate trader, pretty much have been in it for a little minute but not completely expert, you can use E-Trade can kind of confuse you a little bit if you don't really know what you're doing, so it's pretty easy to me because I've been on the platform before, but for someone that's just starting out, I would not recommend E-Trade because mm-hmm. it can get a little bit confusing sometimes. But if you do like the proper research, like you did, you said that you went into it, you researched, so you know a little bit of terminology about, you know, the stock market and how things go, then I would say go ahead and try and get used to using the E-Trade platform. I use E-Trade as well.
Mm-hmm. So what are your best recommendations for people to get started with investing as far as apps go?
Okay, so of course we already talked about Cash App. Mm-hmm. So my next stock that I would recommend is actually Stockpile. Stockpile is, it's basically, if you find it in the app store, it's like the square is purple and it has like a little, it has stacks on it. It's pretty much self-explanatory. You just go to the app, and what I love about Stockpile is that you can buy fractional shares, which when I first started out with trading, I was like, you know, back then it wasn't as technologically advanced as it is now. Like back then it was like all I knew was, because I was a beginner, I was like all I knew was I had to buy whole stocks. So what Stockpile does is that it allows you to buy fractional shares. So it's like, you know, let's just say, you know, you don't have that much money to invest, but you have $20. Let's just say you want to spend $20 and purchase a piece of a stock. You can literally go into Stockpile, put in that $20. There's a 99-cent trading fee, so a commission. And then you also get if you're using a credit card, you get that fee as well, which it never really is more than like maybe $1 or $2 for me. But you can go in and put in that stock, say $20 worth of Disney stock. You can buy it. And then the fee is 99 cents and then maybe $1 or $2 for the credit card fee. And you've just purchased a bit of fractional stock, which I've been doing that with Amazon because Amazon is so expensive. So I've been kind of working my way up towards it. So Stockpile has been helping me do that. And then Robinhood is similar to Stockpile in nature as well. So I would recommend those three applications to get started in stock trading and selling and buying.
I'm definitely going to check out those apps you recommended. So far, like I said, the first investment I made was on Cash App, which seemed really easy. They even have like this little like introductory what is stocks kind of thing. And it's cute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's cute. Uh-huh. It's real cute. It doesn't give too much. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, basic. Makes you feel a little bit more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then it opens up your mind and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and research this. It has images. It's words, but it's maybe like a paragraph at a time. When you swipe, it got the images there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you put your little information if you already have it. And most of us do because we have a Cash App account. And then, yeah, you pick which stock you want to invest in and go for it. Speaking of stocks and investing in stocks, what are maybe, let's say, three top stocks you would recommend to preferably beginners, and preferably in this particular time in a pandemic, as far as the best ones to invest in?
Okay, yeah. So I would say my top three. And first off, before I start, I want to say that you should always, always, always invest in stocks that you believe in. If you wear Nike every day and you love Nike, you invest in Nike. If you love Disney, if you love Disney movies and your kids love Disney, you invest in Disney. Like, there, you really have to invest in what you believe in. And that's why I always tell people, you know, just don't go by my recommendations. Of course, do your own due diligence, do your research. But you invest in what you believe in. But the three that I believe in that I'm investing in currently, that I know for certain are going to make some profit once the market rebounds. I invested in Delta because right now Delta, the share price is down right now. And typically it's up in the $20, $30 range. I bought some for like 10 bucks the other day, a share for 10 bucks. So I bought some of Delta. And then I also bought some of Carnival. Carnival, of course, their ships are, they've stopped sailing right now, but Carnival is a certified moneymaker. People love to cruise, especially on Carnival. Carnival caters to a lot of the young crowd. As soon as the younger people, millennials, post-millennials, as soon as they get the clear to go ahead and start back vacationing, they're going to probably hop on a cruise because that's the easiest way. You get the most bang for your buck there on the cruise. You don't have to worry about food or anything of the sort. You just pretty much get on there and you just go. Mm-hmm. And the last one I invested in was Netflix. So Netflix, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's been a lot of people, like on my timeline particularly, they are talking about shows that they never would have even gotten into if it wasn't for COVID-19 going on right now. People are trying to find things to do, things to watch, things to talk about, because we practically were quarantined. So we're just trying to find some type of way to entertain ourselves. So I went ahead and I invested in Netflix as well, because I know Netflix is going to be around. Like, you know, people are always constantly watching Netflix. And I feel like Netflix is a great stock to invest in. Mm-hmm. And just a little bonus stock, I invested in Zoom because everybody's doing video conferencing right now. So, and that's probably going to happen. That's probably going to continue over maybe the next 3 or 4 months while COVID actually clears up. So those are my four.
So I have two questions for you. The first one is regarding Netflix. So with the theory in my head again, you know, I don't really know too much about stocks. But just from, like, I guess, like a logical consumer standpoint, why invest in Netflix, right? As far as it being, it's already, you know, there. We've already been using it, and more people using it. But where does the profit come in at, being that, I don't know, I just feel like, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, I get what
you're saying. What I'm trying to say?
It's there. Like, you're saying that it's there, but it's not there. Like, like right now it's up. So if I'm now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that why would you invest in Netflix if right now people are using it right now, but what about after the COVID situation subsides? Okay, so right now, I don't know if you've been like really watching the stock market, but the prices of the stock are fluctuating. So right now, Netflix, let's just say Netflix is, let me give you like the correct.
I'm also thinking like we're not going to really see a boom in Netflix per se, right? Because we're already kind of there.
So the
I'm definitely not downplaying your move. I'm just like thinking from like that standpoint, like to make it make sense in a way.
Yeah. So the share price of Netflix right now is $361.76 at this time. So what's happening is that the shares are fluctuating. So one moment it'll be up and then the next minute it'll be down. Now with Netflix, I will recommend if it goes down any further, like if it goes probably like in the maybe 310-ish, 300 area, I would say invest in Netflix simply because it's going to go back up. Like I said, people aren't selling and investing or taking their investments out because of how fearful they are of, you know, what's going to happen next. So I would say invest in Netflix when it takes a dip, because it's going to take a dip again, simply because, you know, of course, the stock market is up and down. So I would say Netflix is my personal investment, simply because I know how expensive it can be. It's probably going to go back up to about 375, 380. That's as high as I've really seen it. So once it takes a dip, I invested in it when it was about 310. So, you know, that $50, $60 makes a difference. So once it rebounds, I'll have that $50, $60.
That's cool. Yeah. So that definitely makes more sense. Mm-hmm. I think where the logic comes in and making sense of this is just really understanding the numbers for real. Mm-hmm. You broke that down a bit, which makes, you know, a little more sense. As far as Zoom, what are your thoughts on Zoom and investing? Kind of like in a similar way you just explained the Netflix. Mm-hmm. Of course, people are home, so they're using Zoom more. So I guess you took the initiative to do that because of that reason.
Yeah. So I invested in Zoom because recently I was doing a little bit of research about how once the COVID situation goes over, what the basically the travel industry is going to look like. So flights, simply because people are being bailed out by the government, and there are really people are laying airline workers off, like travel industry workers, they're being laid off. So, you know, when it comes to that type of thing, the travel industry, they're going to have less flights when it basically blows over. So they're going to have less flight routes available for people to just travel on business. So I feel like even though right now we're using Zoom to basically get our business meetings together and have those conversations, we're going to continue to do that because of how expensive it's probably going to be down the line. And flights are going to be limited. So I feel like it's video conferencing, I feel like it's going to continue throughout 2020. And probably once the end of 2020 gets here, I'll probably go ahead and sell my Zoom, honestly, because, you know, at that time, the travel industry would have rebounded. But I do feel like consistently video conferencing and video calling is going to be continue to be used through 2020, simply because, you know, there aren't going to be as many flights available as people may think, simply because we are having so many layoffs with the travel industry. There won't be people to actually service these flights. So that's the reason why I made the investment into Zoom.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how it works when you sell a share. Is it kind of like, are you throwing in the towel? Like, oh, okay, I gave up on this, I'm just going to like give it back in a way. Or is it like, I purchased it and I'm ready to sell it and you're gaining profit from that?
Yeah. So I don't really want to think about it as like throwing in the towel. Really, trading stocks is just about business. You know how people just say, you know, business is business. This is what it is and it is what it ain't. So I really want to think about it as a business move. Now, when I feel like when someone sells a stock, this is how I think. I'll just say, I'll talk for myself because I just only want to speak for myself. When I sell a stock, I'm basically saying, okay, so at this point, I feel like right now, based on my interest, I've traded this stock. I want to trade this stock, or I've traded this stock or bought this stock because I wanted to make a profit. I feel like I've seen my profit by this point. Or I feel like something is going to happen that's going to lower this stock price. So I want to go ahead and sell this piece of stock because I've pretty much gotten what I need out of the stock at this current time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So yeah. And when you sell the stock, is it essentially going back into the business where you brought it from?
So it's going, it's going back to the business. Mm-hmm. So you're selling it back to the business, and then that frees it up for someone else to invest into the stock. So you're just basically selling it back to the business, and then it frees it up for somebody else to go and buy it.
That's gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe like let's talk about this. In the last 7 years that you've been, you know, trading and mm-hmm. investing, what are some game-changing things that you've learned that maybe someone else getting into this as a beginner will be able to take some notes from?
Okay, yeah. So I remember you stating something about the stimulus checks, but I want to say something about the federal refunds too.
Right.
The federal refunds are a game changer for me too. Like, I, you know, of course, you know, I get a refund every year. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's a lot of Americans that do. A game changer for me was making sure that every time I received a refund, I was investing into my future, because the way that I grew up, honestly, I just, you know, it really pushes me forward to kind of prepare for my future and be way more serious about my future than most people my age are. there are a lot of people who are basically just fly by night. You know, it's like, okay, I woke up today. I'm not worrying about tomorrow. Let's just worry about today. But I'm not that type of person, basically because of how I grew up.
So when you're, so essentially what you're saying is that when you get means to buy, sell, trade, invest, level up, mm-hmm. come up, mm-hmm. that you should take that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the federal refunds, I take the time. Now, also, when I get paid, you know, when I get paid for my regular job, like I said, you know, being the editor-in-chief of Melanin Voice, that is a passion of mine, but it's not my full-time job. I actually do work in the finance industry. I work for one of the largest banks in the United States of America. So every time I get paid, I always make sure that I allot a certain amount of funds to invest, simply because it's almost like a savings plan. Of course, I have a savings account that I place funds into, but I also make it a point to basically, you know, I would say from my check, I would spend like maybe $75, maybe $100. It depends on what I have going on in my life at that time. I'll invest it into the stock market. That's been a game changer for me as well. Even though sometimes I'm like, oh, do I really want to do this right now? I kind of have to push myself to do it, because it's like, you're really, you're living for now, but you're also living for later. So you have mm-hmm. to prepare yourself financially. And I always tell myself, I'm like, I don't want to work for someone the rest of my life. So I need to really get it together, like right now. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Those are game changers for me. And whenever you have the money to invest, whether it's $10, $20, invest it. That's what I say. You know, investing is, nothing is ever too little to invest. Honestly, especially with the resources that we have now, Stockpile, Cash App, Robinhood, it makes it so easy to go ahead and invest the way you want to invest and not have to wait and, you know, build up the money to buy one entire piece of stock. So I feel like at this point, with the resources that we have, investing should be so easy. I just feel like everybody should at least try it once. And it's not for everyone, you know, but I do mm-hmm. encourage it.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. A lot of us, like you said, we're not conditioned to mm-hmm. invest, and we mm-hmm. haven't grown up that way. I mean, for me, I can speak for myself. I wasn't taught how to manage finances. I had to kind of, you know, learn that on my own. And it definitely wasn't taught in school. I mm-hmm. feel like I learned a little bit of it in college, but by the time I got to college, I already knew what that was. So
right.
It was funny, like talking about credit card utilization rates mm-hmm. and a few other things that we talked about, like credit related. I'm just like, I know this. I'm about to walk out because y'all just like, and it was funny because I was already of age in a freshman class. So I was already annoyed being there, like in a freshman. It's not, you don't even get no credits for that class.
Right.
So I was just like, you know what? I want to walk out, but I had to take the class. So I just took it anyways. And it was useful to the people that were there that didn't know about it. But I think it's our responsibility to take control of our lives. Like, we can't, and I think now is a great time to realize that. I call this particular season that I'm in, that most of us are in, is realization. Like, mm-hmm. it's just a lot of wake-up calls that we're receiving. It's kind of like the glass was foggy and now you know, cleaned it off with some Windex and it's crystal clear now. Like, right. There is really no way right now you shouldn't be able to see life for what it is. Like, you have nothing obstructing your way, your vision. I mean, it may not feel like a good time, and it's definitely not a good time. We're not just home partying.
Right.
You know, a lot of us are home going crazy almost, you know, like we feel like we're losing our minds. We run out of TikToks and dances to do. Right. And we don't have, can't call your friends over. So it's definitely a unique time, but I think that if we look at it from a different aspect, like, oh, what is this showing me? What am I learning about myself? I did like a bunch of polls on Twitter today, and it was really to stimulate other people, because it's the same thing as opening your journal and asking yourself 10 questions or writing down 10 affirmations. Sometimes when you do exercises, either between you and your therapist or you and yourself, just reflection moment in your journal, you start to ask yourself and ponder on these questions. Some of them I ask people. Let's have a little fun real quick. So I'm going to go into my Twitter and I'm going to pull up the questions. So I said, how are y'all holding up? You know, good. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I'm good. I'm managing. Over it. A lot of people voted. They are managing. Mm. I said, are you practicing self-care? And out of the question, the two answers were as much as I can, or yes, I'm sleeping. Because for a lot of people, self-care right now is just getting rest.
Right.
And more power to that, because as we all know, we've been freaking burnt out before this happened, going on like a hamster wheel would feel like. So a lot of people said as much as I can, and I salute those people. Shout out to y'all that are waking up and trying to do something, whether it's one thing, two things, whether it's making your bed, drinking some water, getting some sunlight. Do whatever you can. I said, also another question I said was, what have you been doing to reduce your stressors? The answers were choices: binge watch my favorite TV shows, creating, yoga, meditate, or reading. So that was four choices. Most people, what can you guess that most people said they were doing to reduce their stressors?
I would say creating.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are creating right now. And I see a lot of messages that people say on Twitter, like promoting this agenda, create, use this time to invest, use this time to do this, that, and a third. While we're here talking about stocks and promoting for people to invest and take charge of their life and to learn more about these things to, you know, obviously to be successful in that aspect, I'm also not knocking rest, and I'm also not knocking don't learn stocks and don't invest, because some people ain't up for it. You know, like I told you before we recorded, like, I don't really have the mental capacity to indulge in certain lingo and words that make up stocks, but they don't mean I ain't gonna learn it. It's just not my season to at this particular moment, but I just want to, you know, obviously talk on that balance aspect. It's all about balance. I salute the people that are using this time to rest, and also salute the people that are using this time to create, because what a beautiful time it is to release all that's going on some pen and paper, you know, or even on your computer. I mean, paint, there's a whole bunch of ways you can do that.
Definitely.
I also asked, do you have a support system? A lot of people said they do.
Okay. Like
73% of people said they have a support system. 27% said they don't. It's just them. In this moment, what's one thing that you'd really be happy to have? Out of love and support, which is one choice, money, having more money, having peace and quiet, or having creative energy, guess what most people said?
I feel like creative energy, because that's what I'm feeling.
The funny thing is, I just realized that. Wow. Okay. So it was tied. Both people, both choices that ranked was more money and creative energy.
Yeah, girl.
It just goes to show you like how those two things like are so like heavy on our spirits right now. Mm-hmm. We want to create, we want to blog, we want to write, but you know, that energy is not really there like how it used to be. And it's okay. I told myself, I hopped on IG the other day and I was like, you know, it's a lot going on with the spiritual shift that we're having right now. I just want to focus on taken that all in, healing, getting better, restoring my vision. And while I did say that and I felt it in that moment, I had a different moment a few days later that said, no, you have to keep creating. And there's people that need to hear certain things. So do what's in your spirit. And I think that's a good piece of information right there, like a good piece of like something to chew on for real. Like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't want to pressure myself. I'm going to just do what my spirit feels. You know, if you want to rest, rest. If you want to invest, invest.
Right.
Like just, I think at this point, we just got to take it day by day. 69% of people said that the question was, do you find that your wants and needs or goals has changed? 69% of people said, nope, vision's still the same. 31% of people that voted said, yes, their vision has changed. So I think that this time is unique again, and you should do whatever you feel in your spirit it is to do. I hope this podcast opened up, you know, some creative energy, some room for some energy to research and read, because that's heavy on my spirit, sis. Like, reading right now and being resourceful is like top of the list for me.
Yeah, it is for mine. It's top of the list for me too. I am taking this time, you know, well, I'm deemed essential, so I'm still having to go to work. But I'm still taking the time to, you know, make sure that I am putting it forth the effort to make sure I gain more knowledge during this time. While it's kind of slow, because of course we don't have anything else to do but to kind of, you know, get to know. And I hope people are taking the time to get to know themselves a little bit better than what they've known themselves to be previously. Because this is the time for it. So yeah, I'm all for people taking time to hone their creative energy. And I know money is heavy on some people's minds.
Absolutely.
Taking the time to level up and figure out ways to, you know, create multiple streams of income. So I hope everyone is doing that, and I wish them the best. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this episode was, you know, about stocks and finance and things like that. But I think it's all tied into this current situation. We can't just ignore what's going on. Right. So for the fact that we could have this discussion about blogging, that journey, being an entrepreneur, stocks, the COVID, mental health is dope, because it's all tied in. And I think right now it's just clear. This time is just a level up, no matter what, no matter how you look at it. It's a season of leveling up, because you're either going to be better at, you know, managing your mental health, better at managing your finances, your career, earning more money. I mean, something positive is coming out of this. Something, you know, we're all trying to do something. We're all trying to stay alive, stay focused, stay motivated. So this is a season, guys, of leveling up, and I hope you guys are all doing that, whether that's you taking the time to level on yourself a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
definitely.
I want to thank you, Pri, for joining me on this conversation, and guys, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, which I hope you did, please rate and review us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. In the meantime, check out one of the hottest blogs for millennials at therawdosage.com. Oh, and did I tell you we have a store? Yeah, check out our blogger stickers, hoodies, t-shirts, and more. Type in therawdosage.com/shop from any device.